Well, now I'm very pleased to be talking once more with Brian Hughes from Shenfield-based solicitors, Rayner Hughes. Now, Brian, you've been through the wars recently.
Yes, I'm afraid I have, yes.
You're feeling better at the moment.
Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah,
good.
Thank you.
I'm pleased to hear it. Now, today, I think you're going to be revisiting a subject which we covered previously, but this time in a little bit more depth. So much death, I'm totally confused. And this is, of course, to do with leasing, yeah?
Yes, today I want to look at issues relating specifically to leasehold properties and particularly to matters governing extending leases.
All right, well, perhaps we should first off by just start by looking very briefly at the differences between freehold and leasehold properties.
Freeholders own a property in perpetuity, but leaseholders only have a right to reside in a property for the number of years mentioned in the lease.
Now, can I just clarify something here? Because I think we've touched on this briefly earlier on when we were just chatting off air. When we're talking about lease properties here, we are talking rather more in terms of houses rather than these long-term or these short-term leases that you can get.
We're talking in terms of long leases of flats, apartments, sometimes houses, but mostly flats.
Now, the issue that immediately hits me here is that if, for example, you purchased your property in the 1960s with, say, a 99-year lease, now 40 years plus down the line, the value of the remaining lease is getting lower by the year, making it very difficult to sell on to another purchaser.
Well, just so. In fact, it's more like 50 years, isn't it?
Yeah.
And even though from the early 1990s onwards, leases tended to be granted for terms of 125 years, and finding buyers in the early years generally proved fairly easy, as time has moved on, such properties become less attractive, not only to prospective purchasers, but also to mortgage lenders, when the usual 25-year capital repayment mortgage is not covered by at least twice the remaining term. In fact, it's become a general rule that you have to have at least 60 years left on a term if you want a 25-year capital repayment mortgage from one of the major building societies.
But there is an answer, isn't there?
Yep, there is. Since 1993, the Leasehold Reform Housing and Urban Development Act, which
bit of a mouthful.
Well, we call it the Leasehold the Leasehold Extension Act or something like that.
Yeah.
It allows tenants who've owned a leasehold property for 2 years and who have more than 21 years left on their terms the right to extend their existing term by 90 years. In other words, they can add 90 years onto what is left of their existing term. And not only that, but their new ground rent can be a peppercorn, which is in effect nothing. The peppercorn will apply from the date that the extended lease is completed. So, I mean, if you've got 50 years left on your term, and you get a 90-year extension, you've got 140 years, okay?
And nothing to pay. Ah, right. But you don't get nout for nout, so you're going to have to pay something for this, wouldn't you?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and although it'd be pretty unusual if the landlords who granted the original lease were still the landlords when a tenant makes an application to extend their lease, they or their successors, the landlord's successors, are going to have to wait a very long time before they can get their hands on their own property. Because of this, they're going to have to be compensated, and this compensation is called the premium.
Okay, so how would a tenant go about exercising their rights?
They would check their eligibility to apply. It's important to note that this right applies only to residential properties, and additionally, in the unlikely event that your landlord is a charitable housing trust and the property is provided as part of its charitable function, you cannot apply for an extension. They've got to be residential,
right?
Not charity, okay?
Right.
So the first thing you do is to establish the identity of the person to whom one should apply. Now, this may not be as easy as it sounds, because the immediate landlords may not have 90 years left on their own leases. So these intermediate landlords have to be bypassed and an application made to the freeholder, who's usually the only person who can grant you the extra 90 years.
Now, presumably, you can get that information from Land Registry, can you not?
Oh, yes, indeed.
Yeah. So, assuming you can get past that hurdle, what comes next?
Well, obviously, you need to establish what you're going to have to pay.
Mm.
This falls into three categories. The first off is the premium I've just mentioned. Then there are the legal and surveying costs incurred by both the landlord and yourself. Both parties need to appoint surveyors and solicitors to negotiate and agree the terms of the extended lease and register the lease with the land registry.
Okay, so what comes first?
Well, you start by appointing a surveyor known to be experienced in calculating what the premium is likely to be and experienced in negotiating the final amount you have to pay. So it's essential that you appoint someone who deals regularly with this type of matter. Your surveyor will give you a best case scenario, being the minimum premium you're likely to have to pay, and a worst case scenario, the maximum amount. You should always work on that maximum figure as a basis for any application for finance, since assuming your surveyor knows what he or she is doing, they will rarely miscalculate the maximum figure. Since it's very much in the interests of your mortgage lender as well as yourself to have an extended lease, there's usually no difficulty in borrowing the premium. Your surveyor will have calculated the likely premium according to certain basic rules. But as I've said previously, I'm always amazed at how the tenant surveyor and the landlord surveyor come up with completely different premiums given the same set of facts.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, I know. After that, you'll need to get an estimate of the legal and surveyor's costs involved. You appoint a solicitor and ask him for estimates. Now, landlords know they can only charge their reasonable legal and survey costs in connection with the negotiation and completion of the extended lease. And their total charge is usually in the region of £2,000 in toto.
Yep. Okay?
Your solicitor and surveyor will charge approximately the same amount in total, provided you don't have to go to a first-tier property tribunal, which would happen only in the event of unresolvable disagreements between the various solicitors and surveyors. You'd have to go to the tribunal for a determination of either the premium or the terms of the extended lease. You don't have to pay for the landlord's costs of going to the tribunal, incidentally, unless you as a tenant are being completely unreasonable.
Okay, so we've appointed our solicitor and surveyor, and now we've got the estimated costs, so presumably we're good to go, are we?
Yep. But before you apply, it's a good idea to get your solicitor to make an informal approach to the landlord to see if the freehold is up for sale and establish the names of their solicitors and surveyors. If you're told that the freehold is not up for sale, then the next step is to exercise your right to extend your lease by getting your solicitor to serve a Section 42 notice on the competent landlord. Now, this notice sets out the request for an extended lease and the amount the tenant is prepared to pay for it. Most tenants insert the minimum premium, which they've been given by the surveyor, because the landlords can require the tenant to lodge 10% of the proposed premium with their solicitors. The landlord then has 2 months in which to respond, either by agreeing to the terms of the terms or making a counteroffer. Your solicitor will need to be ready to respond to requests from the landlord for any relevant information, such as proof of your ownership of the lease for at least the last 2 years. And note also that subject to 3 days' notice in writing, the landlord has the right to inspect the plat for the purposes of getting a valuation of the property.
Now, I'm guessing that a counter-proposal is the most likely. Would that not be right? And what might this entail?
Well, a counter-notice must follow, and the landlords must either agree your right to the new extended lease and accept your terms, or propose alternative terms. However, if they don't admit your right to extend, they must have valid reasons for not doing so, which will need to be adjudicated by a judge in the county court. Alternatively, the landlords can claim a right of redevelopment, in which case they can refuse to grant the new lease if they can prove to a court that they intend to demolish and redevelop the building, but they can only do this if the remaining term of the lease is less than 5 years from the date when the Section 42 notice was served.
Now, that's the Section 42 notice that we mentioned earlier, which is served by your solicitor on the landlord or competent landlord at the time that you want to go ahead and extend the lease, yes?
Absolutely right.
So what happens if the surveyors and or the solicitors can't agree on the premium or other terms?
In such circumstances, there's a statutory period for negotiation of at least 2 months, but not more than six. After an initial two-month period, either party can apply to the first-tier property tribunal for an independent determination of the issues upon which there's disagreement. I have to emphasise that the six-month limit is an absolute limit for landlord and tenant alike. Failure to apply on the part of the tenant within this period means the tenant has to wait for a further year before being able to apply again for an extension. And in the event of failure on the part of the landlord to serve a counter notice, the tenant may apply for a vesting order, which enables the court to grant the tenant a new lease on the terms requested by the tenant.
Can the landlord vary the terms of an extended lease?
The landlord has to grant the extended lease on very much the same terms as the original lease, subject only to minor modifications and statutory exclusions. The main benefit for the tenant is the peppercorn rent in lieu of the rent in the original lease.
Now, it all sounds pretty complicated. Do all landlords and tenants go through this procedure?
Not all.
Mm-hmm.
Many landlords will try to cut a deal by offering the tenants the prospect of a reduced premium if they accept a lesser additional term than 90 years and agree to pay a ground rent which provides the landlord with an income over the term of the extended lease. However, if the proposed ground rent escalates beyond £1,000 per annum in London or £250 per annum outside London, the lease falls within Schedule 2 of the Housing Act 1988, making it an assured term leasehold. Now, whereas leases outside that Act, the 1988 Act, require a court to determine them, that's to finish them, in the event of breach of covenant, and courts are very loath to force tenants out of their homes, leases within Schedule 2 of the 1988 Act can be determined by the landlords in the event of breach with no recourse whatever to relief from the court. Your leasehold home and its value will just have disappeared, which is why tenants must apply for a peppercorn rent.
Now, when you mention here about the proposed ground rent escalating, is that something which, that when they're trying to offer you a deal like that, that it would actually have something that it's not fixed for that whole term?
It'll be fixed, but it'll be an escalating one, sort of every 25 years or every 33
up.
Years. They'll say, you know, at the end of 33 years, your ground rent will double, and then after 33 years, it'll double again, for example.
Yes.
That's the sort of thing they go in for.
Now, surely, the solicitor that you have must be aware of this, and therefore they ought to make sure that you don't sign anything with them.
Provided your solicitor knows what he's doing, yeah.
You're surely not suggesting that some solicitors don't, or is it simply because they have to cover too many aspects that they don't know the law on every single thing?
Well, it's not quite that. It's just that ground rents have escalated over the period from the 1960s, okay? And some solicitors are caught unawares by the fact that if the next sort of rise, it goes over £250 or £1,000, that lease becomes an assured term leasehold, and that is danger territory. So sometimes the solicitor may not have realised that. That's why you've got to go for the extended lease with a peppercorn rent.
Right.
Then you're absolutely safe.
Could a landlord refuse to give you an extended lease with a peppercorn rent?
No, he can't.
At the end of the day, he's got to.
At the end, what he'll say is, look, I don't agree. And you will say, all right, well, we'll go to a tribunal. We'll go to the first tier property tribunal.
Yep.
And we'll let them decide.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then the tribunal will say, yeah, okay, he's got to have or she's got to have an extended lease.
Yes.
On these terms. And that's the premium you've got to pay.
And the landlord cannot walk away from that.
The landlord can't walk away from that, no.
Right. What if the landlord wants to keep the property and wants to bequeath it to one of his relations later on? He can do that, though.
Oh, of course, because he owns the freehold. He can dispose of the freehold wherever he likes. He'll dispose of the freehold subject to this lease.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
So he could dispose of the freehold at any point.
Well, the landlord can do whatever he likes with the freehold.
Yeah.
It's just this lease. Don't forget, a lease is a contract to occupy a place for a period of years. Okay?
Yep.
And the tenant will apply to the landlord to extend it, and if the landlord says no, then the tenant says, okay, we'll go to the tribunal.
Right.
the tribunal will turn around and say, yep, he can have it or she can have it. And the landlord just has to accept the situation. All right?
Right.
But it's absolutely essential that the tenant applies to the first tier property tribunal if the landlord objects.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. Thank you very much indeed. I've really put you on the spot today, but I have to say that I found this very complex. So thanks for clearing all of that up for us.
That's a pleasure.
Okay. Thanks very much indeed, Brian.
Okay.